this past week I was reading an article, and it mentioned that humans are 98% genetically similar to chimpanzees. Isn't that interesting, right? What was more interesting is that you would normally think that that would mean that they are the closest other creature that's genetically similar to us. But there is actually another ape called bonobos that are also about 98% genetically similar to us. And while both of these creatures are apes who live in social tribes, chimps and bonobos have different cultures. Chimps are divided into male-led tribes, and often when they run into another tribe, they engage in warfare. While bonobos are female-led tribes, and when they encounter outsiders, they tend to be friendly. In fact, while chimps are fighters, bonobos are lovers. In fact, that's why we celebrate the International Day for Bonobos on St. Valentine's Day. Because they're said to be lovers, not fighters, right? It's a clever way. But what was really interesting about this article is the question it asks at the end. If we look to nature to tell us what our nature is, what does it tell us when our two closest genetic relatives in the animal kingdom have two different societies? What do we do when we know that there's a difference? That even in that 2%, we know that there's a huge difference between what chimpanzees and bonobos are doing and what we're doing. When we talk about who we are, both as individuals and as a society, we are a mix of nature and nurture. We are a result of both God's creation and human society. And we think about who we are according to Scripture. Scripture tells us that we are in the image of God. We were given dominion over all of creation, meaning our nature is wrapped up into the nature of God. It's wrapped up into being the image of God. And the clearest image that we see of God is not bonobos or chimpanzees. That's Christ himself. The one who is both God and human. In our gospel story, Jesus tells his followers to love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask them for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. A message that sounds idealistic, right? But it's a message that argues as humans, we are creatures that are meant to love, meant to show compassion and forgive. Ideas that might seem nice in concept, but we sometimes think won't work in our world. So I want to tell you a story about a man named Daryl Davis. Daryl Davis is a black musician. And as a black man, he wanted to understand why some people did not like him, hated him, because he was black. So in 1983, he decided to write a book and ask this question. So in 1983, he had a secretary call a man named Roger Kelly. Now, Roger Kelly is a Ku Klux Klan grand wizard, meaning that he is at the top of the Klan structure. Now, the way he called him is kind of interesting, because he said to his secretary, "Do not tell Roger Kelly that I am black. Just tell him that I am writing a book on the Klan." And I wanted her to call because she's white. And he knew enough about their mentality that if they called the Klan and they were talking to a white woman, they would not assume that she works for a black man. So she called him. And Roger responded, "Yes, I will meet." And so they arranged a meeting at a motel. So waiting in this motel, Daryl is, of course, nervous. What is going to happen? And of course, Roger comes in with his bodyguard. A man dressed in all in camouflage, clearly carrying a weapon. And Roger is angry that he has been duped into this encounter with this black man. But using his kind of crafty words, Daryl is able to convince him to at least talk to him for a little bit. They have this tense meeting. And it ends, and they go off. Daryl calls him again and asks for another meeting. And this process goes through over time. Eventually, Roger stops bringing his bodyguard to these events. Eventually invites him into his home. Eventually, what they find out is that they have a lot in common. And there's these really neat videos. If you go on YouTube, you can see videos of Daryl at Klan meetings. Roger there next to him, dressed all in his purple garb. The garb of his high rank, saying, "This is my friend." Strange idea, right? I mean, y'all looking puzzled. And it's the most puzzling thing. Eventually, Roger gives Daryl his robe and his hood. And it's this strange idea, because what happens is he's giving up his clanness to a black man. The story of the friendship between Daryl Davis and Roger Kelly is a story that many would describe as impossible. A black man who becomes friends with a Klan leader. But it did happen. And it happens because Daryl was willing to communicate, willing to understand, and more importantly, willing to love. And by doing those things, he opened doors that seemed to be impossible. But it was a love that is a risky love. It's a love that is willing to love your enemies. But it's also a special kind of love. It's the love that Jesus seems to be talking about in our gospel story. Now, when Jesus uses the word love in our passage, he uses a very special word. He uses the word agape. And for those who came to VBS, you might have heard this before. But agape is special because in Greek there's three forms of love. There's erotic love, which is the love of passion you have in the the birds and the bees. That's probably the most appropriate way to say it. There's philo, which is brotherly love. The type of love you have for family, for friends. Philadelphia is named after that. And then the last one is agape love. And agape love is considered to be the highest of the three. It's a love that the divine has for you and a love you have for the divine. It is the only kind of love that comes from God and is given back to God. Jesus says, agape love your enemies. Love as God loves you. Do not love them as a brother, but love them as God loves you. When we talk about God's love, we talk about a God who continues to love even as God is being crucified. A God who asks for forgiveness, who prays for forgiveness as he's being crucified, who says, "Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they have done." A love we see revealed in Christ. A love that reveals God's love for humanity. God's forgiveness for humanity. A God who sacrifices for humanity. And sharing that love is what it means to be in the image of God. So when Jesus asked his disciples, his followers, to love their enemies, to do these things, he's asking them to actually be the way God created them to be. To be creatures that are meant to love and take care of. Instead of creatures who seek gain, who seek warfare. To be the hope in the world, to be the stewards of creation that bring the kingdom of God as God had intended into this world. Amen.